So, all right. This morning, if you have your Bible, Luke 15. I want to preach on Dale Marsh's favorite topic, his favorite great testimony last Sunday night. And something I hadn't preached on Dale in 2.5 years since I've been your pastor. I had a seminary professor years ago. He said that a preacher ought not to shy away from familiar biblical texts because you thought everybody knew them. And so I'm not going to make that assumption, but this is a great, they call it the pearl of parables. Shakespeare said there was not a greater story in all of literature than Luke 15. And so I want to read to it this morning, make 3 points, but I want to read the scripture, Luke chapter 15. It's pretty long, so you can remain seated for this one. It is the gospel. This is, hear the gospel of the Lord. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me. I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And Jesus continued, "There was a man who had 2 sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. And not long after, the younger son got together all he had and set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. And after he spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. He went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. And when he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son and threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandal on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard the music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so that I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you killed a fatted calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you're always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Jesus is coming here to the close of his earthly ministry. He just has a few days left before his trial and his crucifixion. And a lot of people, the great crowds, are following him. And here's the situation, the setting. And there are two groups. One of them is the Pharisees, and the other is the tax collectors and the publicans. It was strange, Ev, that the tax collectors and publicans heard Jesus gladly. They heard him gladly. While the scribes and Pharisees, the religious crowd was murmuring. And there was a barrier between these two groups of people. The publicans and sinners, the tax collectors, they were unwashed people. They were defiled people. And the Pharisees wouldn't even have any contact at all with them. Because they didn't keep the law. The tax collectors and the publicans, they were the kind of people that you wouldn't want to do business with. You couldn't buy with them. You couldn't buy from them. You couldn't sell to them. You wouldn't allow your daughter to marry one of them. They were unwashed. They were defiled people. And there was a great barrier between them. And Jesus comes along and preaches something a lot different. He shows them something a lot different here. And really makes three points. I want to make three points real quick. He tells the story. He says, this is what the kingdom of God is like. Number one, it's like a lost sheep. Number two, it's like a lost coin. Number three, it's like a lost son. And first thing he tells is a lost sheep. And I want to say that in the ancient land of Israel, I've been to that part of the world, and I just tell you that being a shepherd there is a hard job, because it's not, pasture is very scarce, the land is very rough, and being finding pasture there, is being a shepherd is a hard job. But in Jesus' day, and they say that a shepherd lost one of his sheep, he'd have to bring the hide back to show how the animal died. And I'm also told, Mike, that a sheep is a very dumb animal. I've never fooled with sheep very much, but Carol said that she had, and said that's really true. I raised bulldogs, though. I raised English bulldogs years ago, and I can tell you that English bulldogs are stupid. That's a stupid dog. They really are. But they tell me that a sheep is like that. And they say if a lamb is separated from the flock, that he will just lay down. He won't run. He won't do anything. He just lay down, stay right where he is, and he'll die right there on the spot. He won't ever move if he ever becomes lost from the flock. We have here that Jesus tells a picture. He said that shepherd, the good shepherd, goes to find the sheep. He leaves the 99 in the wilderness and goes out there and looks for the lost sheep. This was a new concept to these Pharisees and scribes, these religious people, the do-gooders. They couldn't conceive of the fact that Jesus, that God would be searching for the lost. See, they were willing to write people off. They were perfectly willing. An orthodox Pharisee was willing to write people off and just say, you know, and I guess we've all said that. Been times, Josh, in my life, I watched a part of that trial, been reading about it in the paper, that guy in Norway killed 77 people, the nut, maniac. And I, at the time, as a way, Rob, I'd say, you know, if I was God, I'd get him. If I was God, I'd let him pay. He ought to pay, that guy. And I think he probably will pay. He ought to pay. But what I'm saying is, we're willing to write people off sometimes. Say, well, I don't have any time for that. I had a commander at Fort Bragg, old brother, General McNeil. If he liked somebody, Jack, he said, I got a lot of time for that guy. I got a lot of time for that guy. If he liked the guy, he said, I got a lot of time for him. And I want to tell you something, God has a lot of time for you and me, don't he? He's not willing to write anybody off. I had a friend that worked with me in Forscom, and Debbie sometimes could hardly get to work, get home at night. She'd stop and pick up any stray dog or cat that on the highway. I bet she had 50 dogs and cats. She had more than the Humane Society. They couldn't even pay the bills for buying dog food and cat food. But I was one time, we had an animal before we left Atlanta, and she said, I don't have, you're not going to give that pet away. So I don't have any giveaway pets. And made me think about it. And I don't have any giveaway friends. How many of you got giveaway friends? And one thing I've done in the last few days is I've made contact with some friends that I hadn't made contact with in a year or two or three. I don't have any, June, I don't have any throwaway friends. Nobody in this town that I would throw away their friendship. Not anybody. But see, those Orthodox Jews, they were willing to write people off and say they ought to get what they deserve. They don't keep the law. These publican sinners, they don't keep the law. So they're willing to write them off. My mama, probably the best example I can think of, she don't write anybody off. I've seen her for 20 and 30 and 40 years. Pray with members of her family. Pray for them about drugs, drug problems, broken homes, broken lives. And what she said, Jerry, say, they're coming back. They're going to come back in one day. He'll be back in one day. She'll be back in. What she's talking about is in the kingdom and walking with God. They're coming back in one day. That's what my mama's. She's not willing to give up on anybody. You know, I, as a young preacher, Jack, I preached this. I preached Proverbs 1. Proverbs 1 is a pretty strong chapter. And it says, God said, he said, because I've called and you refused, he said, I will laugh and mock when your calamity cometh. Because I've talked to you. That's what he said, Shay. Because I've called and you refused, you wouldn't listen, then I'm going to laugh one day. And I'm gonna mock. I preach that pretty strong. I preach Genesis 6:3, Billy. It says, where God said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. But the only thing is, I say you cross a dead line. There's a time that God won't call anymore, that God won't plead anymore, and that you can't. I say there's a dead line, Wayne. I preach that. I asked Dr. John Grange this morning if he had preached. He said, no, I never preached that. And I said, well, I did preach that one time, that you could go too far. God wouldn't call you anymore. But here's all I believe about Genesis 6:3. I just didn't read it all, doctor, because it said, God said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, because man is a mortal and he's in the flesh and he'll only live 120 years. But I will tell you this. I believe as long as a man is in the flesh and is a mortal, I believe God always has a chance. A man's always got a chance to come back, to heed the call, to hear the call. God's searching. And that's the truth here, Gloria, that God was out searching for man. And that's what Jesus tried to teach these religious people, that God was searching like a shepherd who's lost a sheep in the wilderness. And he finds that sheep, lays across his shoulders, brings the sheep home. God's searching for people. That's the first truth. Here's number two. Number two is a lost coin. He said, like that, verses 8 and 9, that woman lost a coin. Why was a coin? Probably a silver drachma. And why was it important? And by the way, it'd probably be easier to lose in a Palestinian home a little silver coin. If you ever been in that part of the world, you know that they have one, two windows and a little, not too much light, dirt floors, be easy to lose. But here's a woman, and she lost that coin. Why was it important for her to find it? I believe Patty's may have been the only one she had. That's right. It may have been, listen, they say that one coin, it could have been the equivalent of a day's wages. In that part of the world, in that day and time, probably people lived on the edge. Y'all know what it is to live hand to mouth? Not too many people in this church probably know what it is to live hand to mouth. But that means that you just got to have, you make it a day at a time. There have been some days in my life like that. Maybe some of your day, maybe some of you know. But people live near the edge. And that woman lost the coin and she needed to find it to feed her family. And then I want to say she may have found it, Robin, because it was a gift of her betrothed. It is said that a married woman would have 10 coins. A married woman, she would have, if she was able, she'd have 10 coins connected by a silver chain around the head. And maybe she lost one of those coins, lost one of them, precious to her. She maybe scraped and saved all her life about to get that headdress, those 10 coins. And now she, or maybe it was a gift of her betrothed. Maybe her husband gave her that gift. I have an anniversary coming up in about a week. I'm looking for the right gift. I haven't forgot, dear. I hadn't forgot. But it could have been like an engagement ring. It was very romantic. It meant a lot to her romantically. But she lost that coin. And the Bible says with that she lit a candle, and she swept the house, turned it upside down, inside out, till she found that coin. And then the Bible says when she found it, what'd she do? Call her friends in, they celebrate. And the Bible said, and Jesus said, and there'll be great joy in heaven over one that comes home. When somebody comes into the kingdom, be great joy, it'll be like that in heaven. Jesus said he come to seek and save the lost. Said that to Zacchaeus, I've come to seek and save that was lost. But there's great joy. I want to tell you, first thing is, the great message about the sheep is, the lost sheep is, that God is searching for that sheep. Number two is about that lost coin, there's great joy when they found it. And here's the last point, the forgiveness. A lost son. The Bible said, Jesus said, it's like this in the kingdom of God. By the way, I think the great theme of this, Craig, if I picked up a song, Christ receiveth sinful men. That'd be a good theme song for Luke 15. It would be, and if it teaches anything, Ruby, it teaches that God is for the underdog. Because this boy comes to his father and says, Father, give me the portion of good that falls to me. And he divides his living, divides up the money. The Bible says he takes his journey into a far country. What do y'all think it is? I used to preach that the far country was Texas. Someplace out west. I tell you where it is. You think it's Mississippi, isn't it? Hey, listen. It's Enterprise, Alabama. You could live in Enterprise, Alabama and still be living in the far country with you. Because I'll tell you where it's located. It's anywhere without God. Anywhere without God. Wherever you are. You could be sitting in this church this morning, but you may be really in the far country. It's anywhere without God. And the Bible says that boy one day woke up down there. By the way, I'm gonna write a book. One day. I was looking back at the Desert Storm. I got two papers. One of them where I went to the D.C. I went to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs office one day. We had lunch together, me and him. Gave him about a 35-page. I'm going to do a book one day on my reflections of Desert Storm. Got a paper on it. One day I'm going to put all that together, David, and write a book. But I'll tell you the title of it. God told me a day or two ago. And it goes back to what the words this boy said. The Bible says he woke up down in the pig pen one day and he said, servants in my father's house have bread to spare, and I perish with hunger. That's my title of unsealed, bread to spare. We have bread to spare, don't we?
We do.
If you know the Lord, then there's bread to spare and bread to share, and God has called us to do that, to share the bread. I mean, it's bread of life. I mean, spiritually, God, we have bread to share, don't we, Jamie? We got bread to share. It's going to be my book title. Bread to share.
Amen.
He got home. Daddy saw him coming. They're sitting out there on the porch, maybe. Been waiting. He'd been gone maybe for, I don't know how long, maybe for a year, several years. But they waiting there hoping and praying and waiting just for the day. And then one day he sees him coming down the road, and Daddy jumps up. Bible says he's going to tell him, Daddy, I don't deserve anything. But the Bible says even before he can talk, he saw him a great way off. And what did he do? He ran. That's the only picture of God getting in a hurry in the Bible, as far as I know. He ran. Daddy ran to him and got him. Wouldn't even let him talk. He wanted to talk. He said, Daddy. Daddy said, hey, bring the best robe and put it on it. Bring a ring. Bring shoes for his feet. Kill a fatty calf. My boys come home. It's a great story, isn't it?
Amen.
Great story. Let me tell you. God's waiting for some people to come home. I'll close this story. One of my favorite college teachers, his name was Mr. Howard Carpenter at Northwest Mississippi Junior College. I went to a junior college. You guys ever heard of Northwest? And I went there 2 years. And Mr. Carpenter taught me history. He was a great Christian layman. Told me a story about a boy from Nesbitt, Mississippi. Anybody ever heard of Nesbitt? I'm going up that away this next week. My mother's 90th birthday.
Praise God.
I plan to go Friday, probably come back Saturday night. I'm going to be in church next Sunday. Hope you'll be here. Unless my car breaks down.
We'll come get you.
You come get me? Okay. All right. Well, but anyway, I'm going to be in Nesbitt, Mississippi. And it's right out in the suburbs of Memphis. He tells a story about a boy whose name was Bill Harden. He went to the Vietnam War. And he was over there about a year. His mom and daddy, Christian people, prayed, and he got home. Got back to the States. I think it was probably Fort Dix, New Jersey, Chris. He got up there, and first thing he did, they didn't have cell phones all like we do today, but he called his mama and daddy and said, I made it back home. They were so glad to hear from him. Said, I'll be home in a few days. And they said, good. When I get out, process, I'm coming home. He said, but mama, I got a friend I want to bring with me. They said, well, that's fine. You bring your friend, won't you? Your house is our house. You bring your friend. He can stay a week. 10 days, he can stay and for a good long visit. And Bill Hardin said, he's very special. This guy's special. Said, he's a paraplegic. And he said, I don't want to bring him just for a few days, but I want to bring him to live at our house. And they said, my soul, Bill. And mama said, my soul. Me and your daddy old. We can't take care of a cripple. You come on now. Come on, son. Bring him for a few days or let him stay 2 or 3 weeks, but we can't take care of a cripple the rest of our life. A few days later, they found Bill Hardin's body in the New York City hotel room. Took him back to Nesbitt, Mississippi, and his mother looked down that coffin. She said, Oh God, Bill, why didn't you tell us that you were that crippled boy? Let me tell you, God's waiting for you. God's waiting, He's searching. He's glad when people come. Like a woman that loses all she has. And then He's a forgiving God. And He's like that loving Father.